We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Where he is in his basketball life and how further down the road of talent development than he was at his age, than perennial all-stars at similar positions right now. I mean, he is better 9-10 games into his career than Anthony Davis was into his, than Jermaine O'Neal was into his, than to so many young big men around this league were into theirs. DeAndre Ayton is one of those guys who was hardly just, oh, he showed up and he was awesome and ready to go. No, and he still, I don't think, is allowed to shoot a three where this guy is. It's really, really something else. There are nothing but better times coming, you would hope, for the Golden State Warriors. And we get into all of that with Steve Kerr, the frustration level of last night, the road trip that they've got coming up, and all kinds of things. But we, of course, began our conversation earlier today with Steve Kerr with the news of the day, the mega trade that gets Harden out of Houston to Brooklyn. And we asked Steve, to the point that you can talk about another team's business, what was your initial reaction to the NBA trade heard around the world?
Well, I guess my first thought is, you know, it's good to get James Harden to the East. I think that's good. You know, we've had a lot of the dominant NBA players have been in the West, you know, for whatever reason, and so it's good to balance them out a bit. My next thought is what an amazing job Sean Marks has done since he became the Nets GM. I mean, he inherited that team without any picks, you know, going back to that KG trade years ago. And between Sean and Kenny Atkinson, you know, over the last few years, they developed a really good culture. They developed players. You know, they found guys like Joe Harris and Jared Allen and Caris LeVert and developed them. And so when you think about from the ground up what Sean Marks has been able to accomplish with no picks, and now he's got those three guys on his team, just an amazing job by Marksy.
Are you expecting a frantic call from Steve Nash sometime tonight?
Steve and I are tight, and we haven't talked since the trade, but you know, we've communicated during the season, and he's doing great. He's the right man for the job. I mean, he's just, you know, he's so egoless, and yet he's got two MVP trophies, you know, in his office. And actually, knowing Steve, they're in his closet, but people know he has them. And so if there's somebody who is built to coach that team with that set of stars, it's Steve. So I know he's got his hands full in some ways, but, you know, every coach wants talent. I mean, talent is what wins in this league. And, obviously the pieces have to fit and you gotta, you know, get guys to commit and all that. And I would put my money on Steve being able to get that job done, because that's an incredible array of talent on one team. It's very impressive.
You don't traffic in the rumor market, but I'm sure you hear things. So that when this trade was announced, did you say, oh, yeah, I heard about that a couple hours ago or a couple of weeks ago, or were you flabbergasted?
No, I wasn't flabbergasted, just because the way this has unfolded, I mean, it was obvious that Harden was not happy in Houston, and there were lots of rumors going around, and you know, everybody said, well, Brooklyn or Philadelphia, those were the teams that you read about, or that you read about anyway. And that was kind of a daily thing going on in the league. So I think everybody sort of expected and anticipated that a trade would happen at some point, and now it did. So here we are.
Obviously, this is the end of an era in Houston, and it's an era that you had a lot of direct experience playing against. So when you think back to the James Harden Houston Rockets run, like what will you think of?
Well, they were an incredibly tough team for us to play every time out, just because of what they presented, you know, at both ends. All that spacing around Harden and Chris Paul meant that we had to guard the entire floor for 48 minutes. It was a huge task. And then their switching, their defense was very underrated. They had all those guys who were built like linebackers switching and muscling us out of the paint. And so it was, you know, a tough, tough team to get past. And they pushed us as hard as anybody really in the West for sure. It was quite an era for sure for both teams.
Every hero needs a villain, and I thought that the two of you were well cast against each other, not just in terms of talent, but in terms of just team construction, star philosophy, if you will. You talk about Eagle as two-time MVP. Well, you know what it's like to coach one of those guys.
Yeah, I sure do. And you know, that game six in Houston a couple of years ago, when we closed them out after Kevin had gotten hurt in game five, will always go down as one of my favorite games, you know, as Warriors coach, just because of what it took to win on the road without Kevin, and the way the guys played, the way they shared the ball and defended. It was a beautiful night, and that was one, like I said, one of the best nights we've ever had.
That was a really good night for me watching basketball. I remember I was in a bar eating tacos, drinking tequila, watching that game. I was hanging out with Bonte Hill, who's doing Warrior pregame now. We were just hanging out watching that game. It was fun. Like, those were the before times, Steve, when we were normal and could go places with people.
Life actually happened. I mean, you didn't have to worry about every single detail of your life, you know. Those were the old days, but we're going to get back to those days, Damon. We are going to. We'll get through this. The light's at the end of the tunnel. I'm confident of that, and just got to keep grinding every day.
I hope you are right, and I look forward to you being right. In our only talk of concerns of the world that we're now in the now times, we just had Andrew Bogut on, and Bogut talked about how the NBA was allowing two unchecked players in people's hotels, and that he had talked to former teammates, even a current front office executive, and I don't know who those teammates or executive were, but Andrew Bogut kind of did more to sound the alarm on what felt like the biggest side door bad idea around rather strict and stringent COVID testing. I'm sure that you must be thrilled to see the NBA do away with that on the road hotel room visitation nonsense.
I don't even know what you're referring to with Bogut, to be honest with you. I mean, yes, I'm glad that the regulations are being tightened up, and I hope that this is the answer and that we're going to be able to get through this season. But this stuff is tricky, and we're, you know, I'm a coach, and our players play, and all we can do is follow the advice of the health and regulation people, the people who are advising the league and the city and our organization. That's all we do. We just listen to everybody and follow the rules. We wear a mask. We get tested every morning. We try to avoid people, and everything else, it's sort of overwhelming to even, you know, look up. You just kind of keep your head down and do what you're supposed to do every day.
Who is in charge of minding all those things, like who sits where and how distant they are, and making sure that nobody goes up to another free throw shooter and daps hands or anything? Do you have somebody now who's sort of a protocol coach?
Well, you've probably noticed in games that guys high-five all the time, and after the game ends, both teams get together and everybody's hugging. And So I don't know that there's been enough of that, to be honest. But, you know, I think that's more of a league question, you know, and I would think, you know, if we continue to have problems, an obvious step would be at the end of games, you know, just wave. Don't go and huddle up. I know that that's how Beal and Tatum both ended up in COVID protocol from their post-game chat. So there's a lot of stuff. I mean, this is so difficult. It's hurting cats. It really is. It's, you know, trying to pull this off. There's so many things involved, and it's really, really tricky. Our training staff's doing a hell of a job. They're the ones who organize our testing every day. And then every team has a compliance officer. So we have someone who travels with us on every road trip, who keeps an eye on mask wearing. And you know, if people are pushing the limits, then that person comes and lets us know and tries to bring people back into the herd.
All right, so on the floor, last night, obviously a huge test for the rookie. Everyone is super interested in the development of James Wiseman. I guess when he has a stretch like this where he's playing Sabonis and Turner one night, Jokic the next night, Ayton the following night, what are you looking for from him in terms of competing with the really good bigs in this league?
Well, just a continued education that he's absorbing. That's the main thing. There's lessons every single night. I mean, it's so hard for anybody to come to the NBA, but particularly somebody with as little experience as James. And I think it is harder for big men than guards. There's just more going on. There's you're sort of the middle linebacker, you know, calling defensive coverages, that sort of thing. There's a lot to process. And so we are just trying to help James come along, not overwhelm him. So certain games, you know, we'll play him, you know, in key times or down the stretch. Other games, maybe we pull him out. And we just try to thread that needle of helping him develop and then obviously trying to win as many games as we can at the same time. And frankly, it's not an easy thing to accomplish. It's tricky, but that's all part of the deal.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, and I know that you're running off to the airport soon to get to Denver, so we won't keep you too much longer here, but there's always the show that we do, and then there's the show the next day that I wished we had done the day before, and I wish we had spent more time explaining the difference between a 19-year-old just-got-here rookie from Memphis and a 24-year-old Lithuanian who in basketball years is the equivalent of a 45-year-old man, right? Like Sabonis last night, I mean, he made his professional debut against adults when he was 17 overseas, and he was so wired to make it a rough one for Wiseman, and he did.
Yeah, he's a hell of a player. I mean, he's an all-star caliber center, and Miles Turner was excellent, too, with his rim protection. And you saw we had three or four plays where guys didn't lob it up to James, but instead they tried to sort of make these drop passes below the defense, and none of them worked. But that was a direct result of Indiana's front line. So, you know, give them a lot of credit. But, yeah, the Sabonis comparison, I mean, you know, he was at Gonzaga for, I don't know, at least a couple of years. And he's now been in the NBA for several years. So it's a completely different deal. It's you know, it's like anything else that you do in life. You just have to do it you have to experience it in order to learn, you know, the ins and outs of that particular trade or whatever you're talking about. And so with James, it's just game experience over and over again, and then our coaches are working with him every single day on all these things that he's learning, and it's going to come, but you can't force it. It just has to occur organically and with patience, and I think James is doing great.
Do you get a sense that he might be the sort of guy you have to point out the same mistake to fewer times than your normal rookie in that? And what I mean is, if you're talking about a specific thing that you want him to do, how many times do you have to tell him before he fully absorbs it? And is that a lower number than most rookies?
You know, it's too early to even tell. To be honest, it's what I do like is his poise and the manner in which he accepts the coaching. You know, he's just very even-keeled. He's not emotional. He got a little frustrated last night, but, you know, he stays positive. And, you know, you just it's more like because you have to do it, it's not like memorizing something from a textbook and taking a test. It's reading the instruction manual and then you know, trying to operate the machine. You know, you can't just learn how to drive a car by taking the, you know, driver's ed and taking the test. You got to actually drive the car with the instructor. And that's basically where he is right now. And he's, as I said, he's doing great. He's handling everything great. But he just needs the reps.
When you have a guy like Kelly Oubre, who, you know, has performed at a certain level his whole career or you know, an increasing level over the last few years, and it's just so clearly below it. Do you talk to him about changing approach, or is it just, we know this is not who you are, stick with it, and it'll come together?
Well, the only thing we're really talking about is whether his shot is going in or not. I mean, yes,
right,
some nuance. I mean, he's going to pick up some things along the way as far as how to play with Steph, you know, we can all do a better job offensively in our execution. That's on the whole team. But here's the reality with Kelly. You know, we lost Klay Thompson, our best on-ball defender. We've asked Kelly to guard the ball now in every game. We've asked Andrew to guard the opponent's best wing. Both guys are doing a phenomenal job, phenomenal. Our defense over the last six games is a top 10 defense. I think we were seventh going into last night, and that number actually probably got better because we held Indiana to like 42% shooting. So I know everybody's locked in on, you know, Kelly's shooting percentage, but you remember last year when we couldn't stop anybody, and because we couldn't stop anybody, we literally could barely compete night in and night out. We're not that team anymore. We can compete. And if you can defend, you have a chance to win every night. And Kelly has been a huge, huge part of that. So that's what our fans should be focusing on, is how much he's brought to the team and the fact that, you know, his shot's going to start going in, as was evidenced last night.
I think defense makes interesting basketball. There is no doubt about it. And you guys have been a wildly interesting team here. And watching it come together instead of demanding a final championship product on day one of the season is kind of how this is supposed to work. And we're right back to basketball teams figuring it out, coming together. I'm looking at Steph Curry here, Steve, and we'll let you go after this. Here's a guy that defenses are picking up as he's checking in at the scorer's table. Like, there is no him getting lost in traffic anymore, him relocating without anyone paying attention. He is guarded absolutely everywhere. It used to be his shot that was a gravitational pull. Now I feel like it's just him being in sneakers is enough to be a gravitational pull for defenses. And that's got to eventually bring everybody around to a better shooting night with Oubre, with Wiggins, with everyone. Geez, I think you might win last night's game if Eric Paschal plays.
Well, yeah, I mean, all that stuff, who knows? I mean, you know, Indiana didn't have Oladipo and T.J. Warren, and, you know, we didn't have Eric. And we're going to be playing that game all season long, given the COVID stuff. But as far as Steph, I mean, you know, the number one thing is, if you think about the guys and the teams he's played on, you know, over the last 6-7 years, number one, he always had Klay or KD. So that's a really big deal. I mean, that's probably the other two best shooting players in the entire world, right? So any type of, you know, trick defense, box and one, blitzing at half court, traditionally we've just picked apart because we've thrown the ball to the other side and there was, you know, one of the world's best shooters. So teams are able to get away with that now because the personnel is different. And so that means we've got to adapt and adjust, and that's on us as a coaching staff. It's on the whole team. We have to execute better offensively. We've got to be sharper with every single thing we do. A lot of stuff we could get away with over the years in terms of execution, lazy execution. We can't get away with it anymore. So that's the early part of this season, is figuring all that out and what that means.
How worried about all the time he's going to need to spend in the jacuzzi do you guys become? Because Curry's just in for a beating every night. I think every coach in the NBA popped in that tape of him dropping the 62 and said, not us, by any means right. necessary, not us.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been, you know, a part of the deal for Steph, because he's 180 pounds. You know, he's not a guy who's going to just be able to physically manhandle his way through a season like LeBron or Kawhi or Harden. So that's part of it. That's part of his appeal, frankly. You know, he's not a freak of nature. He's somebody who is incredibly skilled and athletic in a hand-eye coordination sort of way. But that hasn't changed. You know, people have tried to beat him up in the past too. He's seeing more double teams now, more defensive attention. But he's always had to face the physical toll of just being his size in this league.
Steve, good luck and be careful as you guys travel to Denver, to Phoenix afterwards, if indeed that game on Friday does happen with all the COVID concerns. We wish you the very best of luck and the best of health the entire way through. Thanks, as always, for being so generous with your time.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. And that game against Phoenix, by the way, on Friday, has been postponed. The NBA, not long after our initial talk with Steve earlier today, broke the news that is yet another handful of games, seemingly all involving the Washington Wizards and the Phoenix Suns, that have been pushed back due to COVID availability. So the Warriors will be playing tomorrow night in Denver, and then not Friday night, which is going to change our programming just a little bit here on 95.7 The Game, and it means we get to hang out more. So goodbye us. We hope everyone is healthy and okay. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game. We got a What If Wednesday coming up in just a little bit, guys. But, you know, we were talking to Steve there about Curry, and just that 62, as awesome as it was, it really gave bulletin board material to the rest of the league, because when Steph goes for 62, the whole world is looking at that tape. And everyone is looking at Curry doing his thing on you. So, guys, we don't want to be that team, is basically how every single head coach, I think, approached that film study. Curry's lines, by the way, since dropping the 62, here is his scoring totals. 62, 30, 13, 38, 11, and 20. And like I brought up to Steve, they're bringing him up. You know, they pick him up in the tunnel now when he comes out for warmups. They're picking him up at the scorer's table. They guard him everywhere he goes, with the ball, off the ball, relocating around however many screens or staggered screens they try to set up. They really do stick to Curry in a way that they have not before. And I think for the first time we're looking at somebody, the man who invented the term gravitational pull on a basketball court, now redefine his level of gravitational pull. The gravitational pull that Curry had was, he's got the ball, you better pick him up. Now Curry's gravitational pull is not his shot. It's just him. It's just him. Him being on the court is the gravitational pull. I don't know if We could debate who the best player is in the history of basketball forever. We'll never properly reach the correct answer. But there are correct ways to describe the great players that we debate. And I truly believe that saying that Steph Curry has the greatest gravitational pull in the history of this league is the right way to frame him against the all times and the physically more dominant players of Jordan, of Durant, of, you know, Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, whoever you wanted to compare him to. The gravitational pull of Curry is his defining feature and his lasting legacy, I think, on the game of basketball. And you could say, well, that's the shot. Well, the shot is the pull. And now he has the pull without even the shot. So it's just him.
A couple of things that makes me think of. One is, I think, you know, to an extent, when we talk about gravity, we're always talking about not having to have the ball. But either way, it's the shot that scares people. It's the idea that we've got to be ready before he even has the ball, because almost no matter where he is on the court, he can have it and then have it out of his hands and into the hoop before we'll be able to react if we're not already prepared. So that to me has always been the gravity. And I think if I can extend the metaphor, I think the reason he has greater gravity or seems to have greater gravity this year than ever is not actually that his gravity has changed. But if you think about how gravity works, you know, how we get the solar system, for instance, is it's not just one item's gravitational pull affecting the other items, right?
Other celestial bodies.
It's all the celestial bodies' various gravitational pulls working on and against each other. And so in the past, the other celestial bodies on the floor with Steph Curry have had more of their own gravitational pull pulling guys back away from Steph Curry. And now that he's surrounded by probably the worst group of shooters, or at least the fewest other superstar shooters of his career, all of a sudden the gravity that he already had is having a greater effect because those other guys have less gravity. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Well, I mean, look, the absence of Klay Thompson means you don't have to play Curry's pass because you want him to pass. So you're just letting him, you know, all right, as soon as we pick you up, it's going to be us, not me. And coming around a screen, there'll be a third guy to meet you, because if you want to pass the ball, we're completely delighted with that. When Thompson was there, they couldn't do that. They had to play Curry more honestly because there was somebody else they feared right next to him. There's nobody else on this team they fear right now. So it's really just a matter of going from a team that might double team you to a team that absolutely will double team you and then throw a third guy at you if you come off a pick. Because as soon as he gets rid of the ball, your chances of winning the possession go up. So they have to take that. They have to take Curry away, and they can do it with a clear conscience because they don't believe they can be hurt anywhere else. And until that changes, this is what the Warriors are going to be.
Well, but that can change without a change in personnel, right? No one is going to become the shooter that Klay is, so that part of it is different. No one's going to become the scorer that Kevin Durant was. But if Kelly Oubre and Andrew Wiggins start scoring, and Wiggins, we've already seen it, I think, to some degree. If he starts doing more and more in the situations where Steph is double-teamed, it's going to deter it to some degree, and that's when Steph is really going to start to get loose again. And, I mean, that's going to be the push and pull that this team is dealing with from defenses all year long. But there will be games. Trust me, at some point in this season, we're going to have a game where someone is double and triple teaming Steph Curry, and all of a sudden Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre each have 26, all on dive cuts. Like, it's just, there's going to be a game like that. Now, that might not be the trend at any point, but that's what they have to do to get teams more honest on Steph, is those other guys. And for Kelly Oubre, it can't be step back threes and spotting up in the corner. It's got to be attacking the rim.
And I think go ahead, Ray.
No, I mean, we're saying the same thing. It's the point is, right now, you want, if you're the other team, you want Stephen Curry to, you know, to pass. You desperately want that, which is why he's seeing more double teams, because they don't want him to shoot. The only way that changes is if Oubre and Wiggins come up with different ways of hurting your defense away from Curry. And Wiggins is starting to do that. Oubre hasn't done it yet. And Wiseman is very much up and down. And I don't think anybody's going to fear Draymond Green, because the things that beat you with Draymond Green are, you know, 6 points, 13 rebounds, like he had last night.
Yeah, I mean, but it's also
that. But he was everywhere else, being active every other way. So offensively, I think it's going to take more than one of those dive cut games to sort of bastardize your point.
Yeah, of course.
And it's going to take a lot of them, because I don't know that there's going to be any point at which an opposing coach says, let's let Curry take the shot. It's just the odds simply say, if the Warriors are going to win, they're going to win because Kelly Oubre and Andrew Wiggins are going to have a lot of open looks, and they've got to do something with them.
Right,
because Curry's not going to have open looks.
They got to take advantage of those looks. It is a make or miss league, and they got to start making some shots. But getting back to, you know, Curry and the gravitational pull of him, it's something that he is not just responsible for taking advantage of. Like, the concentration on Curry, the eyeballs on Curry, is something that Draymond Green needs to take advantage of. And I'm not even talking about knocking down his open shots, but using the concentration on Curry to make sure that he is threading the right needle to the less guarded option. I mean, look, you're not going to have Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson anytime soon. In terms of gravitational pull, that's Jupiter and Saturn. Right now, like, with all due respect to Wiggins and Oubre, that's like Ganymede and Europa. Like, they're not even real planets. I mean, Draymond is the god of Mars, so that makes him, I guess that makes him Mars if he's that, but, you know, the god of war. But, like, these guys are good, but they ain't who they used to be. So Curry needs to take advantage of that. They need to start playing in a way where they're acknowledging, like, hey, I'm not Klay Thompson. I just can't snipe corner threes all game long. And you're right. The dive cut game has to come. The hitting open guys in full stride, because, I mean, you could see defenses. They still follow Curry wherever he goes. If he's on the fast break and he, you know, flares out to the corner, three guys chase him. That's going to lead to nobody's guarding James Wiseman coming down the lane. That is the choice that needs to be made now. And that play, as much as any Oubre 3 or Wiggins 3 needs to be hit, they got to get into the lane with the easy shot. They got to make good choices based off Curry's gravitational pull, not just the, oh, and his shot's falling and that's how we win tonight. He really does unlock everything else on the court, whether that everything else is Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, or Brad Wanamaker. And it's unbelievable that this guy has that stature in this league at the size he is, how he does it. It is amazing. We can't appreciate him enough. There's never going to be another one that comes and does it quite like this guy has to this league at an evolutionary moment. And now we're watching, what, Warriors version 3.0, 4.0, whatever this one is, whatever you want to call it. It's amazing watching them put it together. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to watch them on Friday night. Tomorrow night, though, at Denver is a game that looks like it's still on. We do indeed hope it is.
The easiest way to find out if the game in Denver is still on is how close to the Washington Wizards have the Denver Nuggets gotten?
Yeah,
the Wizards game on Friday night is gone too. Their game with Detroit's been postponed.
Seems like they are the Team X right now that you do not want to have your paths crossed with. I wonder if the NBA game doesn't provide a more, let's just say, easy to get through proving ground for the virus than even football did. You figure football, more guys, a more physical sport. But I don't know if the NBA seems to, like, when it catches a little bit of fire, a lot of teams are going down in flames. Baseball flirted with that. Football flirted with that. It seems like the NBA isn't just flirting. It's getting the phone number and bringing it back to the hotel when it comes across COVID here.
Well, smaller rosters will make it look worse. But, you know, the NFL had many more positive tests. And they also didn't report all of them. Some of them said, you know, well, he's just out, you know, with no cause. So I don't trust the NFL's numbers that much. But I think just, you know, as mathematical logic would have it, a team with 15 players on the roster, you know, when somebody gets it, it looks a lot worse than a team with 53 people on the roster. And that's why I think your point earlier was salient, that they're going to bring up more G League players and just say, you're on the bench too, because we're going to need people around to fill in if we get hit with this.
Guy in the text line says, what Homer radio? If you talked about Steph's gravitational pull all the time in any other city, you'd be laughed off the radio. No, we wouldn't be, because it's real. It is true. And we are on to something that the rest of the basketball world is acknowledging happening, too. There's nothing Homer about it. Teams come in with a game plan that is shut him down. Take your chances everywhere else. That is significant. That is not Homer radio. That's what's going on.
I mean, if you're watching the games and you're seeing the attention of the other team and how much of it is paid towards Steph Curry, you wouldn't send that text. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
And someone says, why do you make so many excuses for Wiseman only being 19? Don't you realize all the other lottery picks are either 19 or 20? Well, that's incorrect. A lot of them are older than that. And there's a difference in a 19-year-old who's been to a year of college, the one and done that you're used to, and then the 19-year-old who was bouncing around high schools and then went to college in one place for three games and then wasn't allowed to play at all. Like, James Wiseman is a young 19. You can be an older 19, you can be a young 19, you can be a young 19 in terms of the basketball that's on your body. This guy, all the tread is still on the tires. He is just a baby in this sport compared to other 19-year-olds who were rookies. So it's not an excuse, it's a fact. There will be growing pains, especially at a big man spot. And that's what Kerr said. It's a lot easier to be young in this league on the perimeter than young in this league on the front lines, which is where these post players are. When we come on back, we will say goodbye to the Houston Rockets, who officially end a chapter, a very interesting chapter for the Golden State Warriors indeed. And a What If Wednesday has been lovingly prepared. We don't know what we're about to be talking about. What if I asked you to stick around and find out together? We got much more coming up in our last 20 minutes. Stay tuned here to Damon Ratto and Kolsky. A 95.7 The Game, we are brought to you by Safeway. This week, save on tender, delicious USDA New York strip steaks, just $4.99 a pound. Crisp, large Granny Smith or Gala apples for 99 cents, plus juicy, sweet pints of blueberries or strawberries, 3 for $10. Come on in and explore at Safeway. We are also brought to you by the Exergen temporal thermometer, and our Exergen temperature check tells us right now it's partly cloudy, still a nice comfortable 63 degrees down in San Jose.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.